Good morning. If y'all will turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 46. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you this morning, dear Lord God, as humbly as I can, dear Lord. Lord, I feel empty, dear Lord God, like I got nothing to give, dear Lord. So you've got to come in, dear Lord God, and teach this lesson, dear Lord, if anybody's going to get any help, Lord. It's got to be your power and your might, dear Lord God, your wisdom, dear Lord, not mine. Lord, I'm empty. I'm an empty vessel. Please fill, dear Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. So, tell you guys how a lot of my Sunday school lessons come to fruition. God will give me a topic, and then it seems like since I only teach every few weeks, then he'll kind of give me lessons through the week. So if I'm going to teach on humility, guess what I get? I get to live some humility, or I get to witness some humility. Usually I get to live it. If I'm going to teach on peace, sometimes I'll get some peace. Well, today's lesson is on stress. And I got the word that I was going to have this lesson about 3 weeks ago. So it's been 3 weeks of fun here, 3 weeks of stress. And I hope the Lord can use those life experiences to help you guys. So, does anybody in here have stress? Maybe a little bit of stress. So what's the leading cause of health issues? Bar none. Stress. Stress affects our the way we look, the way we feel, short-term, long-term diseases. It causes us to have gray hair, causes us to have wrinkles. You know, have you ever looked at a before and after on a president of the United States? Doesn't matter if they're a good president or a bad president. They share one characteristic. They carry the load of a superpower, world superpower on their shoulders. And they get access to information that we have no idea. And they lay awake at night and they have to think about the... And they have to wake up during the night because the world doesn't sleep, right? So they have to make decisions all through the night and all through the days. And if you look at a year one picture and a year four picture, there's a good 10 or 20 years worth of aging that happens in those pictures. Then if you look at a year eight picture, if one's fortunate enough to stay around that long, there's another 20 years or so. So the burden of stress can really wear us down. So I work in the aerospace world. Some of you guys know that I work up at Lockheed. And in the engineering world, stress means something a little bit different than it does to most of us. There are two types of stress. We've got a whole group of people that we call stress engineers or stress analysts. And they're always looking at stresses on aircraft structure. And there's two types of stress that they have to consider when they're considering whether something is strong enough to hold a load or not. Stress is actually just by definition is a load being applied on an object. That's the amount of the load is the amount of the stress. Okay? So there's two types of stresses. There's static stress. Static stress is a load being applied all at once. One force load. If I ask Brother Gerald to come up here and push one good hard time on this podium, no doubt it would break right off. Because he's strong enough to put that much stress on that pole there. No doubt we get stress placed on our lives. Sometimes it comes in one big, hard, fast load that seems to break us down to our knees. Now there's other kind of stress. It's called dynamic stress. Static means something that's still. Dynamic is something that's moving. Now dynamic stress is applied in kind of a, you guys may have to go back to your high school math, but a sinusoidal fashion. If you look at a sinusoidal wave on a map, on a graph, it's like this, up and down, constantly. Sometimes the sine is very slight. Sometimes it has sharp peaks in it. That kind of stress is if I were to stand here and do this constantly for year after year after year, and I never stopped, eventually this thing would fall over. It would come loose and it would break. We also have those kind of stresses on our life. This constant ebb and flow and wear and tear and pull and push and pull and push and manipulate and load on us. It's there and then it eases up. It's there and it eases up. It's there and it eases up. We also have to deal with those sorts of stress in our life. Now both of those can cause something to break. If we drill a hole that's not the blueprint in our aircraft, we have to go and let the stress guys analyze that. And they look at it under those two conditions. Okay, when I hang an engine here, is the engine just going to crack and break off? That's pretty interesting. Anybody do any air travel? Okay, you kind of want these guys to know their business, don't you? And then there's this other kind of stress, the dynamic stress. They analyze it for a fatigue life. And they want to know whether, okay, it won't break when I hang the engine, but the engine's running, there's thrust, there's pull, there's lift, there's all these forces throughout the years, and this airframe is supposed to last 20 years. If they analyze it and see that after 8 years there's going to be a crack form there, then that's good information to have. So we have to address those issues of both immediate breakage and long-term breakage. And we have to consider those things in our lives as well, when we're considering the stress that's been applied to our lives and how to deal with those stresses. So let's look at Psalms 46 and let's see what the Bible has to say to us. It says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. This is where I want to focus the lesson this morning. This is really my primary thought in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So that thought, be still and know that I am God. There's a peace in God's stillness. There's only peace in God's stillness. A lot of times we grasp for techniques, for strategies, for ideas, for help from friends, but true peace only comes when you can be still and get that what God has to offer to us. You guys may know that Elvis Presley started out as a truck driver. He was making $14 an hour as a truck driver. On a fluke, he went and recorded a record with a promoter. And the next thing you know, he's the highest paid entertainer in the world. And I remember seeing Elvis on TV. I have one image of Elvis on a black and white TV as a kid. Just one mental image of it. And the rest of it is what I saw as reruns and as whatever he became in the pop culture. But I know many of you guys lived through that era. And it was something I don't think the world had really seen before, with that much of a rage around one person and for one person to become that famous that quickly and have that much power and influence over people. It said that Elvis Presley said at the height of his fame is, I would give $1 million for just 1 week of peace. When you're being pulled on and pushed on so much, the most precious thing that you can reach out for is peace. And Psalms 46 tells us that peace is found in God's stillness. That's where we have to search for that peace. So if we could apply this verse, be still and know that I am God, our lives would be so much less stressful. So if we're still in God's peace, we wouldn't worry about some of life's stresses. The thing about it is you can't stop the stresses from being there. There's nothing you can do about the fact that the world has stresses in it and your world's going to have stresses in it. It's really all about how you frame those stresses and how you frame those pressures on your life and how you react to them. Some of us get stressed about some of the silliest things. But I was thinking about through my life, what are some of the things that really impact me? And I thought, well, maybe I am, you know, maybe since I'm human, maybe some of you other guys have the same human experience. So I live in a world of great competition. Do you guys ever feel like you're in great competition? Whether it's on your jobs or maybe some of you preachers or teachers, or maybe you want to be in a certain spot in your life and you've got people competing or working against you. Competition is just another way of saying jealousy. Jealousy is one of the most powerful emotions that there is out there. Never confuse the power of jealousy. Never confuse the harm that someone is willing to bring to you if they're jealous of you. They don't even know they don't even mean to do it. But it's such a deep emotion that they can't explain to themselves that they'll do things that they'll regret later just because they're jealous of you. Well, we don't have to be jealous. We don't have to compete for positions. Because if you believe that God is God and God is in His place, then you believe that God has a place for you. If your place just happens to be up here or over there, if you're doing God's will, and if you're trying to do what you need to do for God, there's nobody that can compete with you and block you from your position. It can't happen. If God has it in His plan and it's in His will, you will get to that spot. So if you can soak that into your heart and into your life, if you can be still and believe that God is God, then how are you going to act in this world of competition? You don't have to play along. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to hurt people, whether you mean to or not. You don't have to downgrade people behind people's back. You can be peaceful and you can rest in the idea that God's got it under control. So the people who are competing with you, you can lift them up. You can bring them in. You can highlight them. You can make them look bigger. You can help them. It confuses them. It does. What's his agenda? What's he doing? Nothing. You got nothing to take from me. I got nothing to take from you. I'm just doing my thing, and I want you to do the best at your thing. Can we treat people that way? You think that's the way God wants us to treat people? And we will if we truly embrace the fact that God is God. If we don't believe that, then we'll continue to compete and we'll continue to fight. Pull people in and help them. And it creates a spirit, it creates a snowball effect of goodness. We call it a virtuous cycle. You know, you've heard of a vicious cycle, right? When things get dysfunctional and they get worse and worse and they spiral down. Well, God's people ought to be controlling a virtuous cycle. A virtuous cycle is when things get better and better and better and people learn from your behaviors and we raise people up and raise situations up. Preachers, teachers, you don't have to compete. If there's a teaching spot here that's yours, I'm the Sunday school director. I can't stop you from getting in that spot. You don't have to be mad at me if you're not in the spot, because God will work it out. I'm not going to stand in God's way. If He tells me to do something, you got it, okay? So, you know, don't worry about these things. Just do what God is asking you to do, and He'll work out those things in good time. Okay, we don't have to break other people down. God never intended for you to break other people down. Even ugly people. He never intended for you to break people down. Some other things that cause us stress. Other people's opinions. So often we fret about what other people think. Other people's opinions of what you said, what you did, what you wore, what you thought, the way you acted, where you sat, what you drive, how you dress, the whole deal. Other people's opinions. Whose opinion matters? God's opinion matters. God is God. I used to stress, have so much anxiety about what other people thought. I don't know what it was, but just coming up, for some reason, I had a lot of anxiety around that. And I also had an experience that kind of caused all that to go away. And I'm not real sure I could articulate the experience or even whether I should. But when the load of what other people thought was lifted off of me, it was a huge thing in my life. It was like, for me, it was like a pressure valve relieved. I had a dream one time, and this isn't a spiritual dream, and I'm not having visions, so y'all bear with me, okay? It's just a regular, normal dream. It's a regular thing here. But I dreamed that I was a kid, and I was back in school. And I remember in this dream, I was in my classroom, and I had all my old friends there, and I must have been back to third grade or something like that. And I remember having such a peace because I already knew everybody, and I already knew what was going to happen in their lives, and I already knew what was going to happen in my life. And I remember just kind of joking around with the kids. It was almost like I traveled back in time. Okay, all right. I went a little too far there. I'm sorry. I went too far. But this is kind of what some dreams really feel real, don't they? All right. That's all it was. But there was such an ease and such a peace of just kind of having it all figured out already and not having to worry about the dynamics in the classroom and the dynamics on the playground and whether I was doing it right or any of that stuff that your kids are feeling right now, whether you realize it or not. And I woke up from that dream and I was thinking, you know, really in God's world, He kind of sees all of our situations that way because He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows it's not a big deal. He already knows it's going to work out. You know, when I look at some of these young couples, and you've had your babies, and I know you're up all night, and you're stressed out, and you're tired, and you know you're jerking them up out of church, and taking them back to whip them, and it's a big deal to you because you think everybody's looking at you, and it can really rock your world. Now, I was that way 10 years ago, and 8 years ago, it was a really big deal to us, and we didn't want to disturb the church and all that good stuff. But now I look at it and I think, it's just part of it. It's just part of life. You know, because I've gained some wisdom over the years and I've lived through it. Well, most of our situations are not that big of a deal from God's perspective and from a very mature perspective. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in the stresses and the forces of life, we forget to just kind of sit and live in the moment. And just put it in context. God is God, and all this is just not that big of a deal. Another thing we get stressed about is within the other people's opinions. No doubt, all of you have someone in your life that has extremely dysfunctional behavior. People with dysfunctional behavior can really add stress to your life and to your family dynamic, to your situation. A lot of times we're tied to these people because they're family. Or we're tied to these people because they're a close friend. Or we're tied to them because they're in some kind of social network, or maybe they're in the church, and you really can't really just ignore them. Dysfunctional people can really cause a lot of stress. So how do you deal with dysfunctional people? Oh, everybody knows you try to change them, right? Spend all your energy trying to change them. That's what you should do. Just worry day and night about how you're going to change those people and to get them to see the world the way it should be. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. You can't fix people. You can't fix people. Who can fix people? God can fix people. God doesn't always decide to fix those people. Okay? I don't know why. I wish He'd fix everybody. I wish He'd fix me. But sometimes you're going to have dysfunctional people in your life and you're not going to be able to fix them. Just rest and know that God is God. And there's peace in God's will. Another thing is control. We want to control our environment. We want to control the outcome. Sometimes I feel like I'm an ox pulling a cart. And I look over in the yoke beside me and maybe nobody's there. Or maybe instead of nobody's there, there are forces got a hold of the yoke pulling against me, right? Sometimes I feel like there are people in the wagon, people around my ankles, people pulling against the yoke, and I'm in it all by myself. Y'all ever feel that way? Jesus said that his yoke was easy and his burdens were light. That doesn't mean every day is going to be easy, but there is a place that you can sit. There is a place that you can rest in God's peace. And it's not you that has to take the control of things. There's very little that you can do in most situations to change things. I'm learning more and more the older I get that I don't get to choose my situations. They choose me. Now, what I do get to do is choose how I'm going to react to my situations. So when the static stress comes and something breaks in your life, you got to figure out how you're going to react to it. Are you going to spin and cause more stress? Are you going to try to find God's peace? I'm the world's worst at this. I feel kind of... I don't even feel right teaching it, to be honest with you, but it's God's Word. I wish I had a stronger application of this in my life. As a matter of fact, the scripture we just read said that God can do all things. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. The turmoil that we see out our windows sometimes, or sometimes looking into our windows, all that turmoil that looks like chaos, God can just stop it just like that. He fully has that power to do that. Sometimes He chooses not to. Sometimes He chooses to let us live in that chaos a little bit longer so that we can gain strength for a lot of different reasons. Maybe He wants us to see something about ourselves. Maybe He wants us to see something about Him. Maybe He wants us to get stronger. Who knows? But God's ways are His ways. Other things we have stress about is pressure to get it all done. Most of us feel like the world's on our shoulders. Now, you look at what all of us have. We've all got different loads, right? Your load may be, if we listed it out on a piece of paper, your load may be lighter than my load. My load may be lighter than your load. But for some reason, when those loads are applied to each individual, each person feels like their load is basically the load of the world. We always feel like we're carrying the load of the world on our shoulders. And everybody's load feels heavy. But again, God said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I was talking to a guy the other day and he was telling me how good his marriage was, and he's about 50 years old. And I said, "Well, what do you think your secret is?" He said, "Well, we were married when we were 18. We had a horrible time for the first 20 years trying to work through and get to know each other. And after the first 20 years, it was all easy from there." And I thought, "Wow, okay." Just wanted to encourage you guys that if y'all haven't figured it out yet, it only takes 20 years. But you know, I'm sure in their lives, the stresses of their marriage haven't changed. They still have issues, right? They still have things that come up. They still have kids that, I know one of his kids is moving to Texas because that's where the jobs are for his son-in-law. Yeah, that causes stress. Why aren't they torn apart about that stress? It's not because of anything other than the way they've chosen to react to it. the way they've chosen to either team up and deal with it, or you know, not blame each other, or you name it. So, you know, over our lives we develop techniques to deal with stress. But none of those techniques are going to work if you don't put God in His place. And you don't understand that God is God. I've got a guy at work. I called him the other day. We were working in the same program, and the program shut down, so we went different ways. And I called him. I had an issue I needed to deal with. And I said, "So how are you doing?" He said, "Well, they're giving me about 75 people and with no promotion. I've got, you know, this, and this going on." And he named through it. I said, "So how are you handling that stress?" He says, "Well, I close the door in my office and I do yoga." I said, "How's that working out for you?" He said, "Not real good." So we'll try anything, right? And this is not a guy that you would picture doing yoga. But he said that's what his doctor said to do, to get his blood pressure down, is do these breathing techniques. And I guess he called it yoga. So we're always going to get in situations where we get frazzled. For me personally, I do okay, pretty decent. But when the sleep goes away and the physical body starts breaking down, everything starts to unravel for me. When the fatigue sets in, it just gets... I can't connect the dots anymore. The capabilities aren't there anymore. And even in those situations, anybody ever feel that way? Am I the only one here that gets broken down and gets tired? I mean, if you could handle something on Monday very well, but if it happens on Thursday, it's a much bigger deal, right? So we have those limitations. And if we count on our physical ability to handle things and our fitness ability, because either we're fresh at the first of the week or tired at the end of the week, we're going to be in trouble because problems are going to come all throughout the week. But guess who doesn't get tired? And guess who doesn't get fatigued? And who doesn't need to be recharged? God. God is always ready to help us. He's always there. His line is never busy. If we reach out to Him, He's there. He doesn't always give us the clearest answers. I'm not going to pretend He does, and I'm not going to pretend He's going to jump. He'll be on your problem. He'll be handling it. He just may not tell you what He's doing. But you got to know, there's a peace in knowing that God is God. God's in His place, and I'm in my place, and God's going to work it out. And don't try to work it out yourself too much and mess things up. You'll just cause more turmoil. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. But God is. So most of us spend our lives hurrying, worrying, scurrying. My BlackBerry is over there on the bench, and I feel like a piece of me is missing. That's a sickness. That's what that is. It broke down a few months ago, and I had to go through the IT services to get it restored. And it was just like, oh my goodness, I'm disconnected with the rest of the world. My kidney's laid out here on the table, and I'm not functioning. That's a shame. But I go to the IT person, I say, you know, when are you going to get my BlackBerry? And she says, I know how you guys get. I'm working on it. Because wouldn't you hate to be the BlackBerry person in a company to where when they go down and you have to deal with the anxiety that we get being not having our pacifier? Yeah. The geeks. But it's constant flow of stress and information and the world needing you to handle things. And you guys all have it too. Whether work stuff comes through your phone or personal stuff, it's all there, right? And you stay tied to it. At least I'm not on Facebook. There you go. Got you, didn't I? I may have. I don't worry about what's going on Facebook. Y'all tell me though if somebody says something about me. I ain't gonna have it. All right, listen, I hope y'all had some fun. Just give you a perspective. But remember that when the weight gets too heavy, to be still and know that God is God. Appreciate y'all's attention this morning.